listen to the wisdom of men. So as we pray now, I pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Ek wil graag 'n goeie man wees. Ek wil graag 'n goeie pa wees vir my kind. Ek wil graag obedient wees. Ek wil iemand wees wat gehoorsaam is aan die Here. En nie net in die klein goed of in die groot goed soos hierdie nie, maar ook in die klein goed, as niemand kyk nie. Ek wil graag 'n humble mens wees. Ek wil iemand wees wat, soos die weduwee wat die een muntstuk ingooi, en dis 'n simple act, but it's done in faith. I want to be that person. En soos wat ek daai goed sê, sê jy vir my, Rian, amen. Ek is daar saam met jou. I want to be that person. And we have these intentions and desires. But then life throws us. And things happen in life. Whether it's a death of someone close to us, something terrible like a miscarriage, sickness, financial problems. And one of the things that sometimes happen to us that affects us is quite simply change. Verandering. Wat met ons gebeur. Nou, as jy nou 'n bumper sticker of 'n mark, dan kan jy sê change is part of life. Ons almal weet dit. Everyone know change is part of what happens. And there can be small changes, a healthier health habit, or a big change, like a kid, or a marriage with less sleep. So we have big changes and small changes, but these things affect us. And sometimes it brings stuff out of us. And even as these circumstances in our lives change, we start to change as well. So you're thinking, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. We are ending the English service, so now you're going to talk about change. And you are 100% right. The thing is, we, the leaders, want to shepherd you through this time as well. They want to do it well. But change is not only now what we are going through, but it's the future as well. You will keep on going through change in your life. And if you have been in Josh Jen and you have been very, very sensitive for the prophetic, then you will know there have been words coming out that saying persecution is on its way. And even if you read a book like Revelation, I don't know if you've read Revelation recently, but there's some hectic stuff in there. And somehow the church will have to get to there. And God will bring his bride to there. But that means that all of us, as part of the bride, will probably go through change. So the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we as believers faithfully go through change that significantly affects us? How do we deal with that? How do we do that in faith so that as change happens, we please God in how we deal with it? And the first thing we need to do is we need to set a solid foundation. So when we are dealing with change in our lives, we have to know we are dealing with a God that never changes. Malachi 3 verse 6, because you can opposite. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Hebrews 13 vers 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So whatever turmoil you are going through, whatever changes is happening in your life, whatever things you are unsure about, you can be sure that the God of everything does not change. And He will be the solid rock of in your life, whatever you are going through. And so if you are in a difficult place or things are unsure, He will be there. It's very easy to reconcile the God of the Old and the New Testament. It's not that difficult. He is still the same. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives away, though mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though mountains tremble at its swelling. Verse 8. Come and behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to end of the earth. He breaks the bow and He shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You and I have a fortress. And that is, as we start talking about change, that is our undercurrent. That is our foundation. We have a God that is in control. And He is there. The other thing is, if we're talking that God is unchanging, we also need to say that He is sovereign. And Charles spoke about it last week. He is fully in control. Whatever happens, whatever circumstances, He's not sitting in heaven and thinking, oh, that one got away. And when good things happen in our lives, He's the one that gives it. And sometimes when bad things happen in our lives, He allows it. And we see that from Job, where Satan needs to ask permission to do what he wants to do. Or in the New Testament, where Jesus comes to Peter and says to him, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. Strengthen your brothers. So whether it's good things or whether it's bad things, He is in control. He is sovereign. And He's busy doing things. And He's busy with His plan of salvation to the world. But He knows what He is doing. God is not scared of difficult situations. Your situation, your circumstances is not a head scratcher for Him. He's already got a plan for it. So what I want to look at this morning is I want to look at Israel's exodus from Egypt to the promised land. So a word about the scripture. The exodus is not about change, right? So when we work with God's word, we need to do it rightly. But as Andrew said during COVID, when we read the scripture, we can see how God deals with Israel. And we know, like we said, He's still the same God. He will deal with us in the same way. And the thing about Israel is, I don't know if you noticed, but they are human. So the way they react to change, it's probably the way we also can react to change. So I want to look at a few pitfalls, and I'm going to interweave with what Charles said last week. So first one, God does not always reveal His plans to us. Isaiah 55, verse 8. I've got the Afrikaans on the screen, so I'm going to read in the English. verse 8 and verse 9. It's a verse we know very well. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God has a plan, and he doesn't always tell us. It's not like he said to Moses, Moses, listen, come here. I want to tell you something. I'm going to make Pharaoh angry, and then we're going to take you out, and then there's going to be wars, and the people are not going to like you very much. And then there's going to be a few more wars, and then you're going to send spies, and everything's going to fall apart. And then I'm going to bring a new generation. Oh, you're not going to be there, but don't worry about it. He does not lay that plan out for us. And we all know it. Even in my own life. If you said to me 10, 15 years ago that I would be in Swellendam in the Western Cape, I would have said to you never. So God is busy with us. But he does not give us plans structured out like a business plan. And sometimes it's even better if we do not know. You know, that's, if you look at Hebrews, that's the definition of faith. You do not see it, but you believe. So we say that God has a plan for you. We believe that plan. There's not a physical A4 plan written out to say, this is what I'm going to do in your life. This is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to rescue you. And God does not call us to understand his plans. He calls us to be people of faith. To know that he has the plan and he will fulfill his plan. Second one. God's plan does not always make sense. So imagine the Israelites, you miraculously got out of Egypt, and you're thinking, wow, this is actually pretty cool. And so you're standing in front of the Red Sea, thinking about taking a swim, very happy that you don't have to work, and the next moment, you hear a massive noise. And the spies, or the guys looking out, says, the Egyptians on its way. And you know you probably made them angry. So I think they probably ask the question, why God? Why did you allow this? And it's a question we ask often, why? And it's a question that Paul the Apostle understood very well. If you look at 2 Corinthians, verse 1, from 8 to 10. Such a beautiful scripture. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So we are in this place where God is doing things that we don't understand, we can control. And sometimes he does these things precisely so that you will rely on him. You see, the thing is, if you look at it very simply, a plan that is not understood cannot be managed. God is not interested in you managing his plan, saying here's the plan and you manage it. If you and I don't understand it, we cannot manage it. And he says, Lord, just do what you want to do. And think about Gideon. So, as jy 'n plan het, en jy verstaan nie die plan nie, dan gaan jy nie kan bestuur nie. Is eintlik maar 'n besigheidsbeginsel. So as jou baas vir jou sê, luister, maak hierdie ding reg op hierdie en hierdie manier, en jy, ek weet nie wat jy nou, dan gaan jy nie kan reg maak nie, jy gaan hom waarschijnlijk breek. En dit is die ding, is dat die Here gee baie keer nie vir ons die plan nie, want hy stel nie daarin belang, dat jy die bestuurder is van sy plan nie. Ja, daar is tye wat hy sy plan vir ons gee, maar meestal wil hy sê, you need to have faith in the plan I have for you. Gideon, wat 22,000 na 300 manne is, denk net hoe daai sin maak. It's beyond logic, om met fakkels en trompette een weermacht te gaan aanval. In changing seasons, there will be difficult times. Derde punt. So, ons weet, as jy, ons allemaal ken die geschiedenis van Exodus, so Exodus 15 vers 22, Exodus 16, Exodus 17, die Israelite kom, daar is nie water nie. Israelite kom by 'n plek, daar is nie kos nie. Kom by 'n plek, die water is bitter. Die Here vat nie vir Israel, toe hy sê, ok, ek gaan hulle losmaak, vat hy nie op een of ander weird manier, en sit hulle in Kanaan nie. Hulle moet deur die wilderness gaan. They have to go through the wilderness. And somehow, miraculously, he didn't make their path paved. He didn't make trees and nice fruit bushes grow along their path so that they can pick as they walk. There were difficult times. And we need to know that as we go through changing seasons, it's not always going to be easy. There will be difficult times. There will be times that thing doesn't make sense. If you think about John 16 verse 33, where Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trouble. This is not utopia. This is not yet the kingdom. As Stephen Curtis Chapman sings, not home yet. We are not home yet. We are living in a tent. And there will be challenging circumstances. But the thing is, yes, there will be difficult circumstances. But we still have a God we can trust. And Jesus takes this exact same journey. Jesus takes Matthew 4. Verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit leads him, right? To be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Matthew wants to say to his readers, there is a better Israel. There is this Jesus that trusts the Lord when there's difficult circumstances. So he goes into the wilderness, is led into the wilderness, 40 days, the same as the 40 years of Israel. But Jesus trusts in his Father. And he says, I am hungry, like Israel were. But I will trust my Father, and I do not live on this bread alone. But I live the things that he said to me. And it's like Charles said to this morning, that we are spirit beings. And that's why sometimes we have fasts. to say that what is of the spirit is much more important than what is of the flesh. And I've been thinking about having kids. You go through difficult times. There are times when you want to pull your hair out. My ma het altyd gesê, as jy hulle wil hê, dan wil jy langs hulle lê en dan nader aan wil jy hulle dood lê. To get back to Paul, that was to make us not rely on ourselves. Your difficult circumstances that you have no clue how to resolve is there to make sure you rely on the Lord. And difficult circumstances shape us. They transform us, humble us. And what we said this morning in the prayer, we also need to know that we need to have a wartime mentality. That we are in this world, like Jesus said, we will have trouble. It's not going to be, every day is not going to be a good day. Sometimes there will be tough days. But you know, like Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, my fellow soldier, that we are in a war and that Satan does not like you. He does not like this church. He does not like that the kingdom is advancing. And we need to have this wartime mentality that knows that, yeah, tomorrow there's going to be battles, but the victory's been won. In changing seasons, we tend to grumble. And we see that a lot from Israel. They grumble basically the whole time. And that happens often when we take our eyes off Jesus. We lose sight of what he did on the cross. We lose our joy. And we focus on what's negative. Israel loses sight of what he's done. The miracles. Everything he's done to get them out of Egypt. How he humbled the Egyptians. And what he's done for them, taking them out of Egypt, being free. And what will he do now, even more? They forget about that because they are so focused on, I don't have my needs met now. And we can so quickly lose our joy and start to grumble if my needs are not met now. We are so angry if I want to do something on the phone and the internet's not working. Or I want to watch this game now and Eskom. We start to focus on me and my unhappiness instead of that old prayer that says, break my heart for what breaks yours. In changing seasons, we get critical of leadership. Israel turns against Moses. You can go read it, Exodus 15, verse 24, Exodus 16, verse 2, Exodus 17, verse 2. You see, in periods of change, it's very easy when there's change and revival breaks out. That's awesome. Great leaders. Brilliant leaders we have. But when things go wrong, or not as I thought it should go, then we get up happy, get unhappy. You see, leaders are called to lead their flock through times of spiritual abundance as well as spiritual wilderness. Leiers moet jou deur die goeie tye en die slegte tye bestuur. And that means that sometimes they have to make difficult decisions. And so they make a decision. A couple of people get together. Did you notice that thing that the elders, don't really agree with it. No, neither do I. And 3 becomes 4, 4 becomes 5. And all of a sudden, you're struggling to worship. And suddenly there's disunity in the family. Happens like that. Hebreërs 13 vers 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Of die lead elder, die leiers in die kerk, hulle werk met joy gaan doen. Jy speel a significant role daarin. Jy kan bydra daartoe dat hulle lewe moeilik is. And there's a point to argue that Moses lost a portion of his inheritance because of Israel. Think, for instance, about transition and leadership. Think about Andrew. He's not going to live forever. Charles and Renske. They're not going to be here forever. And a new leader will probably have other good points, and he will probably have other bad points. So are you still going to submit to him? Because now he does things that scratch you. You don't really want to. You know, I come out of an era where there were 2 preachers in the church. And if the one preached on that Sunday, people often said, no, I'm not going to church on that Sunday. So what if they make mistakes? Matthew 16. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000? How many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? And how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread?" You see, the disciples make a mistake. They don't properly plan, and they don't bring bread. And whatever leaders you have, they will make mistakes because they are human. But Jesus here says, why are you focusing on the mistakes that you made when you know that I can provide despite your mistakes? That's what Jesus says here. Because they are so focused on the mistakes they made, Jesus said, I can provide beyond your mistakes. And that is why we started what we did this morning with the foundation. It's not that we desire leaders that are perfect and they make no mistakes. Nothing goes wrong. Whenever he says something, the Spirit breaks out and revival falls. That's not what it's about. It's about that we have a sovereign God that is in control. And he works through our leaders. And even as we look at Moses, that it's a learning curve for Moses. Jethro, his father-in-law, needs to come and needs to explain to him certain things. You can't do this way. And that's the incredible privilege we have as being part of 412. That there's other leaders that come beside our leaders and saying, listen, I think we need to work on this. Or I need to help you with this. We need to have grace for our leaders. They watch over our souls. These leaders, they are not getting together and saying, how can we mess up this sweat and down congregation? You don't know it, but they fast when you and I have a normal week. They are busy praying for you when you don't even think about them. And the thing is, we need to have grace because leaders often face uncharted waters. Moses is faced with difficult circumstances that no leader has ever faced. And just think about 4 years ago, COVID. How difficult that was for leaders. How difficult it was to lead a flock through an event that occurred 300 years ago. It's difficult, and we need to help them. And that is why we as a congregation need to pray for our leaders. We need to ask them how they are doing. Think about how Jesus trusted his Father to lead him to a Roman cross and still know that he will glorify his name. So your leaders will lead you to places that will feel maybe very uncomfortable. But in the same way as Jesus trusted his Father, we need to trust the leaders that he's put in place. A man plans his way, but God determines his path. Proverbs 16:19. Changing seasons reveals idols and lies about the Lord that we have. And you know where I'm going. It's Exodus 32, the golden calf. We said that God shapes us. He's busy with us. And he's working through these changing times. He is bringing out that thing that you love more than him. That thing that you are hiding in your spiritual door in here and no one has access. He wants to bring it out. That lie that you believe. But here I have a question. Why did Israel, when they were in Egypt, not gather together, say, listen, give me all the rings, we're going to make our God. And we're going to pray to him here in Egypt, and he's going to free us. Why? Why were they freed and then 400 years, they asked the Lord. They get freed, and then. I think it's because sometimes when we are freed from that which holds us, we misuse that freedom. And funny enough, you know where we see it the clearest? In the lotto. Guys that don't have any money, they have this incredible desire to be free from poverty. And they win the lotto. and after a couple of years, they broke. They haven't cultivated that sense of managing money. And even Paul, in Romans 6 verse 1, talks about, should we keep on sinning? People say, whoa, we're free. Jesus died. We don't have to worry about sin anymore, so we can just keep on sinning. We have this freedom, and we misuse it. And we need to be careful about that. That as God frees us, as He transitions us to new places, that things will become loose in us that might scare us. In a changing season, we long for the past. Israel longs to be back in Egypt. Exodus 16. Verse 1 to 3, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So we're going through this change. We're going through, and now things are difficult. Now things are tough. And now we long for the old times. It's such a bad South African thing. Die goeie ou tye was nie altyd so goed nie, net mooi gaan dink. You see, Israel had a level of comfort if you read the scripture carefully. Somehow they got meat and somehow the Egyptians still gave them bread. So there was still a level of comfort despite the hard work. You see, God has a bigger plan. And yes, there's times of there's no water. It's tough. Yes, there's times there's no food. What are we going to do? But God says, Israel, I've got a plan for you. There's a land of milk and honey waiting for you. Don't look at the circumstances now. Don't look at where you were back then, because I have so much more for you. And that as we go through change and difficult things and difficult circumstances arise, we need to know that He's got a place for us prepared. That He wants to take us to a better place that's closer to Him, that's deeper in Him, so that we as a congregation will be more like Him. And not look to the past. Not look to the good old times. And it's about perseverance and waiting. And I think it's something that we've lost sight of. En te wag op die Here. Te wag op die Here. Daai ding wat jy hom voor vertrou. En te wag op die Here. It's incredible if you read this. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Israel wish that the Lord had killed them in the comfort of their captivity rather than trust Him for the provision in uncertain times. They would rather die in their captivity than be with the Lord in uncertain times. And you and I will be faced with circumstances. And the question is, will you long for the days gone by when it was easy and simple? Or will you trust the Lord to provide in circumstances that you don't have an answer for, that looks bad? God does not work that way to go back. He wants us to grow more and more like Him. Everything that I've said up to now is warnings, negative things. And I want to end with a positive. God is doing something new. Israel is in captivity in Egypt. And Scripture says that for 400 years they've been crying to the Lord. So somehow, for 400 years, father to son to grandfather to son to father have been telling the story of their father Abraham, who met the living God and gave a promise to him. And they cry to him. And this man arrives and says, "The God, the Lord, your God, spoke to me." And he leads them out with a mighty hand and incredible signs. And this God appears to them. Exodus 19, verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The God who was silent for 400 years speaks to his people in a new way. And then what's even more incredible is he gives them his will, the Ten Commandments. And he goes even further and he says, "Build a tabernacle. I want to pour out my presence on this place." And the incredible thing is that there was another change. Hebrews 1. In previous times, God spoke through the prophets. But now God spoke in Huyo, in His Son. He doesn't speak to us in that way. He sent Jesus to speak to us in a new way. He frees Israel and he speaks to them, brings them closer. And that's what he did when he sent Jesus. He wanted to bring us as a people closer to him, removing sin. And God is still busy. He's still working. Revelation 21 verse 3. As we look to the end times, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things has passed away. He will make his dwelling place again among us, and there will no more be needed. Like Moses that saw God face to face, we will be able to see him face to face. He's doing something new. He's always moving. And like Charles said last week, it's often difficult for us to understand his ways. It's often difficult for us to exactly plan where to go and what he's doing next. But in our lives, we need to trust him. And maybe for you sitting here, you have maybe gone through turbulent times. And you are sitting here, and like Israel, your story has not been good. God wants to do something new. He wants you to trust him for the things in your life that you feel out of control. You cannot manage it. You are not the answer to your circumstances, he is. And even as you look back on your life, and it looks like one incredible failure, he is the one that said, "Look, I make all things new." Your horrible history, he will make new. Let's close our eyes. I feel the Lord wants to do two things today. That there are people here with circumstances that they feel so desperate about. So moedeloos oor. Het nie antwoorde nie. That's the one group. And the other group is, I feel that there are people here who look at their lives and they feel spiritually, I feel like a failure. I should have been further. I should have done more. I should have been more obedient. And I feel God wants to touch those two. So if there's anyone, won't you just please stand?